The following message from Bible teacher and pastor Jim Crabb is brought to you by Imago Dei Christian Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
Did you bring your Bible this morning? Let's get into the Word real quick today. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you have them today, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. I could use a few good amens this morning out of this church. Hallelujah. Wave a hanky, shout, say amen, praise the Lord. How many love the Bible? Don't you love the Word of God? You know, David talked about the Word a lot, about he was trying to describe how the Word is to him. He one time said the Word of God is like, it's like honey. It's sweeter than the honeycomb. Man, you ever get a whole, I love honey. My breakfast in the morning, I probably, you know, this isn't a great nutritional breakfast, but I gotta have a nice cup of hot, strong, heavy black coffee. Put any milk in it, I'll have to slap you. No sugar, just a black eye coffee. That's exactly right. I was with Megan and Ryan the other day, and they asked if they could get me a coffee. I said, get me a black eye. And they said, everybody does it. A black eye is when you go to Starbucks or a place you get is a coffee, like a black coffee with two shots in it. A red eye is one shot. A black eye is two shots. So if I ever say, get me a coffee, you get just say, give a black eye. And you can just pretend like you're giving me a black eye like you want to do. But nobody here would ever think that, would they? Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to tell you what's been in my heart. I've been really praying in the Spirit about growing up spiritually. The importance of going from wherever you are in your personal development with Christ to the next level. It's God's will for us to be growing people. Right? And spiritually, there is a process of development that should happen in every believer's life. You should be a growing Christian, a developing believer. You should go from faith to faith and from glory to glory, right? You should, what the word we use about that is we should mature. We have to mature. The word mature is a word that, you know, what's some synonyms for mature? I mean, to ripen. A green banana is not a mature banana. It's like an undeveloped banana. And a green banana, and it takes time to develop that banana. Sometimes you just got to wait on that banana. I don't like them real green and tough. I like them more ripe, where they get a little mushy. Not ultra mushy, but just, you know, some of them get where the banana turns black. Well, it's overripe. It's overdue. Isn't it? I mean, it's too mature. There's a time and a season that when that thing's ripened, when it's matured. Every believer, a lot of believers are like green bananas. They'll give you an upset stomach if you deal with them. Come on. You have to mature and grow up. He said and the Apostle Paul wrote about this, didn't he, in 1 Corinthians 13. He said in verse 8, love never fails. How many still believe that's true? Love never, if you walk in love, you know, if you walk in love, you'll never fail. It'll never fail. Love has never gone wrong. It's never the wrong thing to do to walk in love. It's always the right thing to do. It's always the right thing to do to be merciful and kind and forgive and be generous and forbear with one another and love one another with a white hot heat of love and compassion. It's always the right thing to do. It's always the right thing to do to find what what the question Sarah and I learned years ago. The question when we have any difficult thing is, what would love do in this situation? What's love's answer? What's love's words toward this thing? That's the right thing to do, because love's going to be the right thing. Love's going to always going to do the right thing. Someone offends you. Well, the question isn't, what did they say that offended me? The question is, what would love do to help them get through that? Help you deal with them offending you? Huh? Love never fails. Say, love never fails. It never has. Love has never failed. No time. If you're in strife, you know you're not right, man. Right? He said, if you love your brother, you walk in the light. But if you begin to hate your brother, or you get in aught or strife with your brother, you're beginning, 1 John said, you're walking in darkness even right then, man. So you're not gonna see the light in front of you and know where to step if we're not in God's love. Love never fails. But where there be prophecies, they can fail. Where they be tongues, they will stop or cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, in other words, when the ultimate full revealed plan of God, when it comes, then that which is in part will be done away. You know, when it all is said and done, there'll be nothing else to be said or done. The imperfect part, it's imperfect not in because it's not okay, it's imperfect in that it's not full and mature. But when the fullness of it comes, the impart of it will pass away. But look what he said in verse 11. He said, he's describing what he just said about the perfect coming and the imperfect then being done away with. When I was a child, okay, that would be, a child is like the imperfect part. In other words, there's nothing, a child is imperfect not because they do something wrong in this context. They're imperfect because they're not mature yet. It's like the plan of God. It takes time for the plan of God to mature. We planted this ministry in 1987, and there were people that came in like the second week. They were already giving me grief about, when are we going to do this and when are we going to have that? And I thought we were good. I'm like, man, we don't even know our address yet. We're still figuring it out. So what they were asking was, they wanted a perfect plan at an imperfect time. Not imperfect in that we were failing. It was just imperfect in terms of the time period and the maturity time. You can't expect a kid, you know, that's what, you know, you got parents, you know, just mellow out. Your kid's going to act like a kid. You know why? Because he's in that time of imperfection. Not because he's doing things wrong, simply because he's not mature yet. He's not full yet. He's not there yet. He hasn't developed yet. He doesn't know enough yet. And these parents, you know, that make their kids be like, they want a four-year-old kid to act like he was a 35-year-old adult. Okay. You got excited about that one. What about the other way? Then we got 35-year-old people. They're acting, huh? They're supposed to be in a more perfect stage of their life, a more mature stage of their life, and they're acting like a four-year-old. A four-year-old thinks the whole world revolves around them. Even a little baby, your little baby, God bless your little babies, they're so sweet, and they're in the crib and all that kind of stuff, and pink or blue, or, you know, I still believe in pink or blue. Yes, there's babies that are either boys or girls. We read in our covenant class today, and God made them male and female. Huh? You know, God bless your little babies in the little nursery, but you know what? They are imperfect. They think the end of the world is at the end of their room. It's all about me. That's why they cry in the middle of the night and want you to get up and do something about it. And you know, we're not mad at them about that because they have an imperfect view of the world. It's just not a mature view of the world. The world doesn't revolve around you. That's why we spend our time disciplining our little children to teach them the world doesn't revolve around you. But it's bad when you got a 35-year-old guy and he thinks the whole world is still revolving around him. Because he's supposed to be in a more perfect stage, but he's living in that imperfect period of his life when he is immature, and it was okay for him to think that the world revolved around him. Huh? When I was a child, I spoke like a child. There's nothing wrong with when you are a child, speak like a child. You know, I forget which commercial it is, man. Commercials are brilliant sometimes. And I love the one, I think it's the one where it's saying, don't you wish everybody would say what they feel or what they think, what they really think, you know. And this little kid's sitting there looking, and she's sitting at the table with her dad, and she's just a little kid. And they're having this little interaction, and the little girl looks at him and says, all your hair's falling out. You do. Kids will say wild stuff, man. Huh? When I was a child, there's nothing wrong with me talking like a child. When I was a child. And then I understood like a child. You talk like a child, but you understood like a child. When you were a child, we can't expect our children to understand what we understand. They need time to mature and to develop. We can't think a brand new Christian's going to understand what everybody understands. Right? When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I understood like a child. Here's a big one. And I thought like a child. I thought like a child. But when I became a man, the scripture makes it almost a given that there's going to come a time I'm going to be a man. I'm going to become a man. Huh? I'm becoming a man. That's what this presumes. When I was a child, it was all right to be a child. Think like a child. Talk like a child and understand like a child. But when I became a man, now here's the key. You gotta be on your way to becoming what you're supposed to be. Inside every, you know, that's the principle of potential. Inside every little child, if it's a boy, inside that boy, there's a potential man. But the fact that he is a boy doesn't make it a prerequisite that he's gonna become a man. Somebody's got to work with him. Somebody's got to develop him. Somebody's got to train him. Somebody's got to teach him. Somebody's got to work with him. Somebody's got to, you know, guide his life so that he can go toward becoming a man. When I was a child, I thought like a child, spoke like a child, understood like a child. But when I became a man, look what I did. I put away childish things. Some of you need remember how many remember? I'll tell my age now. How many remember my favorite show when I think Aaron was little was The Big Comfy Couch? Anybody remember The Big Comfy Couch? And Lunette. Lunette was the girl, was her name. How many remember The Big Comfy Couch? Look, I loved The Big Comfy Couch. And it was this little girl dressed like a kind of like a doll. She sat on this big, giant, oversized chair. But my favorite part of it was at the end of it, Lunette would have a 10-second tidy. Or was it a 10-second tidy? a 10-second tidy. Meaning we're going to clean up everything we messed with. We're going to do it real fast in 10 seconds. And, you know, I remember with Aaron, we'd jump out of the chair and we'd have a 10-second tidy. We'd just start getting stuff and cleaning up what we were messing with. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of believers that need to have a 10-second tidy with Sister Lunette. In other words, we need to take our childish stuff and we need to tidy up. We need to put it away. And it's time for us to grow up and put away our child. Now, I'm not talking to a child. I want a child to be a child. I want a child to think like a child and understand like a child. You know what happens to a child is, you know, we love children because they're innocent. Aren't they? They're innocent, man. They think, that's why we have to teach them and we have to train them. This isn't a good world. This is a bad world. You have to watch certain people. And you know, you and that's what happens. And then, don't you want to be mature? You know, no. I felt better about everything when I trusted everybody, when I loved everybody, when I liked everybody, and I thought everybody liked me. But you have to lose your innocence almost. But when you're a child, I want you to stay a child. Think like a child. Live like a child. Let a child be a child. A child, you know, how many parents know this is true? Your first kid, you're a maniac over them. Oh my God, I got to make sure this isn't, you know, this person doesn't become a serial killer. So I'm going to be really hard. And, you know, you're trying to get a 30-year-old out of a 2-year-old, man. Let him be a kid. Let them play. Let them get dirty. Huh? Let them get there. Let them be a child. But when they begin, when it's time to become a man, and there's going to come a time in our life, and I say to the church today, this is, I'm kind of making light of an important thing, but I say to the church today, it's time to grow. You know, a kid, you know, all the different things that kids do. A kid, you got to watch a baby crawling across the floor. They'll pick up anything, put it in their mouth. Won't they? You got to teach people that, man. You know, you can't eat that. Right? You got to play fair. You can't hit people. But when I'm teaching you that when you're 35, you can't hit people anymore. And you got to play fair. Some believers, it's time for you to put away your childish ways of your being easily hurt, easily offended. You know, if a kid bumps his arm, he's like, this is the end of the world. Oh my God, mommy. You know, your first kid, and you know, the other thing about your first kid is you're all uptight about what's going to happen to them. And you, then if you have one or if you have more, you're like, they'll get over it. They come in with blood down their face and everything. You go, oh, they'll get better. Hallelujah. Go in there and raise your hands to Jesus and pray about it. It'll be all right. You know, it'll walk it off. Is that what your dad told you? Walk it off, man. But there comes a time you got to grow up. You got to stop being a child. It's time for the body of Christ to mature itself. Be strong and fight like men. And be like men of God. Now, you know, it's just true, man. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child, and etc. Now I want to show you something real quick, and this we'll close with this scripture in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 2. I want to show you something. You know, sometimes it just maturity just takes time. And in 2 Samuel chapter 2, This is a story about a guy named, it starts out with about a guy named Abner, okay? And you know, at this time, there was Israel, the kingdom of Israel, the singular kingdom of Israel was split. There was a split, wasn't there? There was the kingdom of, and Israel split in two. One was the kingdom of Israel, and then there was the kingdom of Judah, right? And Judah primarily was the kingdom that stayed more pure than the other kingdom did, okay? And so in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "But Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of Saul's host, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him to Mahanaim, and made him king over Gilead, and over the Asherites, and over Jezreel, and over Ephraim, and over Benjamin, and over all of Israel." Ishbosheth, right, was his name. That his name means the son of shame. So they just made the son of shame the king. That's what Abner did. That's not a good idea. And verse 10, "And Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel. And he reigned 2 years, but the house of Judah continued to follow David." Okay, so Ishbosheth is over Israel. David is over Judah. "By the time that David," verse 11, "was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7.5 years. And Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and the servants of David went out, and they met together by the pool of Gibeon. And they sat down, the one on one side of the pool and the other on the other side of the pool." So Abner's on one side with some of the people from his men from Israel. And on the other side was the people of David's people, or Judah. "And Abner said to Joab, 'Let the young men now arise and play,'" what he meant was fight, "'before us.' And Joab said, 'Let them arise.' Then they arose and went over by number 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. They caught every one his fellow by the head, and thrust his sword in his fellow's side." Now, remember what he said there was, just want you guys play together, okay? So they go out, basically what he said was, "We're going to sit here and we're going to watch our team fight with swords." "So that they fell down together," where that place is called Helkath Hazurim, which is in Gibeon. "And there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten and the men of Israel before the servants of David. And there were three sons of Zeruiah." Now watch this now. "There was Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. And Asahel was as light of foot as a wild roe." I'm gonna preach for the last few minutes about Asahel. What Asahel was, it says that he was light of foot. You know what that means in our translation? That means he ran fast. He was very swift. He was fleet of foot. In other words, he could run fast. Now, you know, when you're thinking about maturity, I just read this in the context of what I'm preaching about this morning. I thought, you know what? Sometimes you can't get to where you're ultimately going by being fast, by being swift. I've watched people through the years. You know, maturity, especially in leadership, takes time. The Bible says don't put a novice in a position of authority in the church. I don't think you ought to put a novice in a position of authority over anything. Not over a country, not over a church, not over a business. Don't put a novice in there. Because the Bible, I mean, there's some pitfalls that a novice has. He's like a child. A novice is not bad. He's not wrong. He's just immature. He's like the child. He's just at that imperfect place in his life. And what he needs is some time and some seasoning. Have you ever thought about it? You know, Jesus, there were what we call in the scripture the 18 silent years of Jesus. You know, until Jesus was 12, we've got stuff, some of the things he was doing. They found him. He's got away from his mom and dad. He's over talking to the scribes and the teachers of the law, and he's learning. And, you know, but he was a kid. He was a kid. He was up to age 12, and even then, though, he said, you know, I got to be about my father's business and all that kind of stuff. But he was still a kid. But, you know, when he was 12 years old, the whole Bible goes silent. That's shocking when you think about it. You know, it doesn't say a word about him from the time he was 12 until the time he appeared again when he started his ministry when he was 30 years old. In other words, you know, I would say that Jesus was, by comparison, using Asael as an example, Jesus was a swift runner. He wasn't trying to get there. He was already there, wasn't he? Yet Jesus, as a model to us, even Jesus didn't use his swiftness to get him where he was in his ministry. He knew, I've got, you know, the Bible says, this is a good one for you theology people, man. You know, the Bible says he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He learned his way through. There was a process of maturity, even in Christ's life, even though he was what he was. Right? I think when he was 12 years old, hey, man, he was 12 years old. He was only 12, but look at, he was already obviously more mature than most people around him. Right? But when he was 12 years old, he stood there in that body. He created the world. I would have said, you know, when he was 12, hey, we got a real need here. Turn him loose. Let him go. But God the Father's plan was not for the Son of God even to be released into the fullness of his ministry while he was at an imperfect time in his life. Not imperfect in that he was sinful or flawed. I don't mean that. But he was imperfect in terms of his maturity time. Wasn't he? And for 18 years, you know what we know about him? Absolutely nothing. We don't know. It just doesn't say anything about him. You know why? Because the scholars call him the 18 silent years. The church would probably call him the 18 most boring years of Jesus' life. Because you know what he did? He studied. He sought. He submitted. Jesus worked with his, you know, God used Mary and Joseph to mature him, the humanity part of him, to bring him to maturity. God, he had to learn submission to his natural mother and father. Was part of the process. In other words, if Jesus was always Jesus, he was always the Word of God, he was always God, why didn't he start at 12? What? Forget it, man. Why didn't he come out of the nursery saying, "Hallelujah, I'm here. Let's start a healing crusade." He was what he was. But it wasn't time yet. It wasn't time yet. The hardest thing to do is live during the 18 silent years. How would you like to be Jesus and you know you made the whole world? You made everything with one word of your power and that you are holding everything together. And yet, what are you called to do? What are you supposed to do in the ministry? Nothing. Nothing. You sit down. You don't do anything. You learn submission. You learn to obey your mother and your father. You learn to work hard. You learn to be a good citizen. You learn your way through the natural part of life. And you study the Word of God. You study the Scriptures that all of them talk about you. But you still got to study them so that they can be in your mind. I'm talking about maturity. And I'm talking about if I was Jesus, I would be tempted to feel like I was Asael. In other words, I could get there fast. Just turn me loose and let me run. You know what I think? If there's a shameful thing on the charismatic movement, is we let so many people that haven't been through the 18 silent years, we let them do what Asael did. We let them in the ministry because they could run fast. In other words, because they were good. They were good preachers. We didn't ask stuff like, what's their character like? We didn't ask stuff like, do they know what to do when the pressure's on? Can they handle a lot of money? Can they handle fame? Can they handle the spotlight? We didn't ask stuff like that. We just said, my God, have you seen him run? He can run so fast. Let's put him in the pulpit. Let's put him on television. Let's go to his church because he runs really fast. He's really good at what he does. While the church was putting Asael's in ministry, Jesus was on silent. And Jesus was just letting things develop. And Jesus wasn't about to go forth too early until he heard the words of the Father. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm, the Father from heaven, Jesus heard those words. Well, it wasn't like Jesus when he was 30, all of a sudden the Father got pleased with him. In other words, couldn't he have said that when he was 12? Weren't those wasted years? No, they weren't wasted years. No time of development and learning in our future are ever wasted years. There's times when I believe this, man, the more you prepare, not how fast can you run. The better prepared you are in your character, the more tough things you go through, the better be prepared you'll be for your future in ministry. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he went through and the things that he suffered. I'm not trying to just get to the front of the pack by running as fast as I can. Look what it says here real quick, and let me finish with this. It says, he was as light of foot as a wild roe, verse 19. And Asael pursued after Abner, and in going, he turned not to the right hand nor to the left from following Abner. So, in other words, he was a fast runner, and Abner's trying to run away, and Abner killed all these guys. And Asael said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go defend all of us. I'm going to go get Abner. I'm getting the leader of this group. And Asael's running after him. And he didn't let anything deter him. Well, that's an admirable thing. That's good. But then Abner looked behind him and said, are you Asael? And he answered, I am. And Abner said to him, turn aside to the right hand or to the left and lay thee hold on one of the young men and take his armor, but Asael would not turn aside from following him. In other words, Asael had this thing in his mind that he wanted to accomplish. And he wanted to accomplish it so bad that the guy who, Abner was going to kill whoever's chasing Abner. Abner, you already seen what he was like. Abner was going to kill him. And Abner, because he knew Joab, his Asael's brother, he didn't want to kill him. And what he was saying was, look, man, go back. Get somebody else to do this mission. And Asael, now listen to me. Sometimes immaturity doesn't know when to start running. Sometimes immaturity gets something in its mind that it can do and thinks automatically, I should do it. And Asael, just because he could run fast, he said, well, that must be what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to run after Abner and kill him because I can get there faster than anybody else. You know, sometimes apparently God that made the world and lives in, not, he doesn't live in a space and time dimension. Have you figured out he is not in as much a hurry as you are? Man, but I am. I'm in a hurry. We gotta hurry. We gotta run fast. We gotta get this all done. You know what? Sometimes the right thing to do, and this is the hardest thing for me to do, is absolutely nothing. Sit down and keep learning. Keep preparing. Keep seeking God. Keep praying it through. Just because, you know, the race doesn't always go to the fastest. It's not always to the best and the brightest. If we were doing it like that, David would never be the king. We'd have found the biggest, the oldest, the best of David's brothers, but they weren't the ones that God called. It was that boy that was on the backside of the desert watching his daddy's sheep who was preparing himself. He wasn't so interested in running to accomplish something that he ran past his time. And Asael wouldn't listen. And Asael kept running. He tried to tell him. Verse 22, Abner said again to Asael, turn aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee? Why should I kill you? How then should I hold my face to Joab your brother? How be it? Now this is, look at immaturity. I'm just making a point. How be it? He refused to turn aside. You know, sometimes I watch people running so fast to accomplish something, they're going to hurt themselves and they're going to lose their spiritual life. That's what Asael did. He's running, 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 running. Hey, man, I'm getting ready to take a sword and I'm going to put it through your side. And Asael wouldn't listen. Howbeit, he refused to turn aside, verse 23. Wherefore, Abner, with the hinder end of his spear smote him under the fifth rib so that the spear came out behind him and he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Asael fell down and died. Now watch what happened. Watch it. As many as came to the place where Asael fell down and died. Look at those next few words. They stood still. You know what? When you have a novice, a fleet-footed runner that's gifted, and he's running to this place and you're cheering him on, you need to think about what you're doing. Because what happened was the rest of Israel, when they got to the spot where Asael died, you know what? Asael's desire to be mature at an imperfect time in his life, it stopped the entire army of Israel. And not only will you stop, other people will stop around you. In terms of maturity, grow, work, train, seek, pray, die to yourself, die to applause, die to failure, die to criticism. Die to everything about your life. Die and act as though you can't run fast. And you wait on the Father to hear the Father's words. Now, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I'm not looking to be like Osiel. I don't want to just be fleet-footed. I want to be kingdom-minded, and I want to be mature enough that when I come into the glory of the fullness of my ministry inheritance, whatever that is, I want God to be able to use me. And I don't want to run so fast and just get out of my mind that there are consequences if it's not time yet. Let's put our hands toward heaven and thank God today. What are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is it's time to grow up and be mature. Let's seek God for, let's don't pray, God, make me the fat, you know. We're not praying a prayer, God, make me the fastest. We're praying a prayer like, God, make me the best. Make me the best I can be. Make me as strong as I can be. Make me as tenacious as I can be. Make me, when I start my ministry, God, like Jesus did, Jesus had to do it sometimes by himself. His friends criticized him. The Pharisees criticized him. There were some tough things that Jesus went through. All those things that he learned during the 18 silent years, between the time he was 12 and the time he was 30. Obviously, there's going to be a time God will let us go. But I'm just saying, you know, people say, well, Pastor, what would you do if you had a do-over in your life? Is there anything you'd do different? Yes! I would prepare more. I'd say, God, 18 years is not enough for me to be silent. I need longer training and development. I want to be ready to go. I want to be able to handle fame and criticism and all the stuff that comes with being in the battle, man. God's will is that every believer puts away childish things, takes time to develop and mature and works on themselves. When God the Father says the words, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, if he ever does, is up to him. My job is to prepare and wait. Prepare myself for something big. I challenge you today. It's time to put away childish things and begin to grow and mature like crazy. In the name of Jesus. Let's all stand up this morning.
We trust you enjoyed this message. For more information about Pastor Jim Crabb and Imago Dei, please visit our website at imagodeicincy.com. imagodeicincy.com.